And although it's not a normal agenda item, I'd like to turn this over to Justice Miller and then Judge Jarr, and then afterward open it to comments and questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I welcome and support this change. It follows logically with the continuous introspection and changes that you have instituted over the last 3.5 years since you first became Chief Justice. This is an identity change that reflects the significant and substantive changes that we as a council have made in our governance policies and our responsibilities over the last 3 years. It eliminates the confusion that so many of us have confronted when we're asked to distinguish between the AOC and the Judicial Council as if we were separate entities. We are not, and we have not been, separate and distinct entities. We are a team, an effective team that serves, as it always has, the Judicial Council, the courts, and the public. And that service responsibility has not changed over time, and it will not change. We will still, as a team, perform at a significant and high level. I also believe it creates more clarity and accountability. It enhances accountability and solidifies where it has always been and where it has always rested, and that is on the shoulders of the Judicial Council. This change makes it clear that policy and the responsibility for making policy emanates from the Judicial Council. I'd be remiss if I didn't also point out and thank what Judge Walkup, as chair of the Strategic Evaluation Committee, did, which called for the council to assume its proper governance role. And it also continues with the Judicial Council's adoption and implementation of the directives that emanated from the Strategic Evaluation Committee and follows logically, again, from what they proposed in the great work that they did. The council also followed this up by streamlining the number of committees, making sure that those advisory committees reported to the Judicial Council, working with them on their annual agendas to make sure that those set forth policy that emanated from the Judicial Council and, again, logically flows from the council's assumption of the roles and responsibilities over time it had delegated to the administrative director. So, again, I support this. I welcome this change. I also want to let you know that the internal chairs will meet. We will come up with a proposal for a rule change. We'll make sure that it's vetted by rules and projects, and we'll have it back to the council by its July meeting. So thank you, Chief. And Judge Jarr?
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Justice Miller, and good morning. Retiring the name Administrative Office of the Courts, or AOC, will produce a significant, in my view, perceptual change, perhaps even a cultural change. And yet, under the substantive law, it makes no change at all. The name, as we'll see, is superfluous. And I'm on the cough button.
So you must cough.
Okay. The name is superfluous. It's surplusage, as we say in the law. Its retirement also conforms to reality, and that's the crucial feature. And yet it's not trivial, not a trivial move, this deletion, because the name itself has been for years the source of counterproductive confusion. Years ago, when I was a member of the council and still a trial judge, then Chief Justice George called me into his chambers, and he engaged me in a conversation about changing the name of the Administrative Office of the Courts. It had never occurred to me that there was a problem up to that point, but then I didn't engage with the legislature, and he did constantly. He observed that the name was confusing, first because it's not descriptive. Administrative Office of the Courts is not descriptive. The staff to the council does not administer the courts. Moreover, the name suggested no relationship between our staff and the Judicial Council of California. There's no reference to the council in the name. If the two names were put together and presented to an audience of bright people who were unfamiliar with the structure, they wouldn't be able to correlate the two. So we sat down at the justice's table in his chambers and wrote out a variety of different names, trying to find a substitute name that would be both descriptive and also evidence the relationship between the council and its staff. We were unsuccessful. And time went on. And when I returned 2 years ago, I was again confronted with the issue because I encountered it routinely in the Capitol, as the chief has said. It's remarkable. I know everyone around this table who has had any kind of extended discussions with legislators, members of the executive branch, or staff have experienced exactly the same thing. So I spoke with the Chief Justice, harking back to the long-ago conversation I'd had with then-Chief George, and she encouraged me to set out to find a remedy. And so I began the process of identifying appropriate, better substitute names, and I really did a good job. I found some really great names. And in approaching it this way, I missed the point. Chief didn't. There's only one entity, and that's the Judicial Council of California. In 1953, a quarter century after the council was created, as the chief just noted, the legislature enacted a statute, and it simply said the Judicial Council may appoint staff. That was it. And it did. And 8 years after that, for reasons that we can speculate about, the council, in a resolution and then a later rule, said we're going to name our staff. And they named it the Administrative Office of the California Courts. Somewhere along the line, California got dropped. And it appears in the rules of court, as I mentioned previously. But what didn't happen was that neither in the Constitution, in statute, in rule, or by formal processes akin to those in the Corporations Code was an entity ever created. The staff to the council, the professional, multidisciplinary staff to the council, was staff to the council. It was part of that family. Probably the name came from or was derived from the U.S. Administrative Office of the Courts, an entirely different organizational structure. And certainly, as has been observed, there are other court systems in the states that use State Court Administrative Office or Administrative Office of the Courts as a term, but in most of them, there's no judicial council. Because the judicial council structure of governance of a state court system is distinct and in a minority in our country. In those places, there's a Supreme Court that makes the rules, and it has an administrative agency to glue the whole thing together. Well, the Judicial Council in our state is the glue. More importantly, the naming that occurred all that long time ago, more than a half century, was counter to government experience in our state. And I think that's the real source of the confusion with the legislature and with the executive branch, not the absence of a descriptive term, because it is counter to what everyone else in government knows and experiences. California Public Utilities Commission, been around forever, a storied entity. It is a commission comprised of a governing body and its staff. No one confuses the staff for the governing body, for the commissioners, when they're on the phone and they identify themselves as being from the California Public Utilities Commission. The same is true of the Fair Political Practices Commission, the Commission on Judicial Performance, and the Los Angeles Superior Court, and every other court that I know of. The Los Angeles Superior Court is an enormous institution, serving millions of our Californians. It has a professional staff dedicated to furthering the functions of the court, discharging its duties, several times the size of the staff that we call the Administrative Office of the Courts. But there's no Administrative Office of the Los Angeles Superior Court. There's simply the Los Angeles Superior Court. And everybody understands it. No one confuses staff with the judges any more than they confuse staff with the commissioners at the PUC. That's the typical arrangement. And that typical arrangement produces properly an image of unity, because there's a reality of unity. The council's long-ago action, on the other hand, had the unintended consequence, underscore unintended, of creating an image of separateness. This step to retire the name Administrative Office of the Courts changes nothing in our organizational structure. There is an organizational structure in the Los Angeles Superior Court, and there's one in the California Public Utilities Commission, as there must be, to handle the array of programmatic and administrative responsibilities and discharge all the duties that staff discharges for its governing body. But it does emphasize that the Judicial Council of California is comprised of its governing body, board of directors if you prefer, chaired by the chief, and its professional staff. Implementing this, interestingly, is very straightforward. Into the California Rules of Court, we simply enter an array of deletions, not additions. There will be two principal sections that really are definitional that will be addressed by the July meeting, and it is envisioned that the balance of the more ministerial or technical adjustments can be made in due course, because there are hundreds of references throughout the California rules, as one can imagine. But those substantive provisions will have added to them a subdivision that, in substance and effect, states that wherever the term Administrative Office of the Courts, or AOC, appears in statute, in California Rules of Court, in local rules of court, in executive or a legislative branch directive, in a contract, in a lease, in a deed, it will be understood by the Judicial Council of California to mean the Judicial Council of California, and by that, no one need be alarmed if they utilize the term Administrative Office of the Courts in one of those kinds of documents or instruments, and people have, implying that it's an entity when it's not. We will keep our word as a council, so to speak, and no one need be fearful of the contrary. The signage and the stationery will be quite straightforward issues, because it simply involves deletions, not additions. And these acts, once again, reinforce the unity and set aside the notion, which is inappropriate and not accurate, of separateness. It conforms to the reality that's always existed. It furthers the chief's insistence on transparency, self-assessment, and reform. And it as significantly as anything, it cures the confusion in the Capitol. It will place the Judicial Council much more front and center, a name that is unfamiliar, quite frankly, to many in the Capitol. And it'll be easily absorbed in the Capitol, because that's how they do business. That's how they do business in naming. It'll reinforce that your multidisciplinary professional staff carries out, not makes, branch policy to serve the council, to serve its standing advisory committees, to serve all of the courts, appellate and superior, and respond to the inquiries as required by the legislature and the executive branch, but always under the direction and with the approval of the council. In other words, this retirement of a name at once changes everything, and it changes nothing. I only wish two things, that I'd come up with the idea myself, and that I hadn't balked initially when it was presented to me. But I did balk. That's human nature. The devil, you know. But it didn't take long. You let it sink in, and you then start thinking in terms of, why wasn't this done long, long ago? So as the chief always says, do the right things, do them for the right reason, do them publicly and transparently, and move on. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Starr. I know this is not a normal agenda item, but I would like to welcome this time open to the council members for comment, and I'll start with Justice Hull, then Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you very much, Chief. Just a few short comments to underscore your reasons and Judge Jarre's reasons and Justice Miller's reasons. In the 3.5 years since I've been on the council, I have had come to have a good deal of experience with members of our sister branches and other agencies. And it's been my observation that through no fault of theirs, there is a rather profound misunderstanding of the governance, the necessary governance of the judicial branch and how we go about our work. That we are not, although the council sets policy as a board of directors does, we also recognize that our 58 county superior courts have a need for independence to a great degree to serve their communities as their communities need to be served. And I think that this move today, I have had the same experience as all of us, I think, around the table, that the questioning about, well, what is the Judicial Council, and sometimes variously, why doesn't the administrative office of the court simply tell the courts what to do, and matters such as that. I think with all of the other good reasons for this particular move, for that reason alone, to help begin to clarify the lines of authority, if you will, that this is going to simplify our task. It won't take us where we need to go in explaining how we go about our work, but I think this is a large step in the right direction. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Justice. Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you, Chief. This suggestion is, as I view it, part of the normal evolution of this Judicial Council and its role. In fact, that word evolution is interesting. It has the letter I in it. This suggestion is kind of the dot on top of the I of the word of evolution. We've made, under your leadership, a whole bunch of substantive changes since I've been on this council. These include the SEC process that you launched, and the changes, substantive changes, that have been implemented, the restructuring of the advisory committees, as Justice Miller referred to. Some of the changes have been big, some of them have been small, some of them have been somewhat symbolic. For example, in the past, reports were provided by staff. Staff members gave those reports and gave a recommendation. As part of this evolution, reports are now given by Judicial Council members and judges and justices, and typically an array of recommendations is made to the council. All this to show that it really is the council that is responsible, that it is the council in charge, and the staff is here to provide support and service to the courts and the council. So I certainly support this. I know Judge Jarre made reference to a number of entities in state government where you don't have a separate entity that is the staff entity. It's all part of the same entity. I'll give you another example. I used to serve as chair of the California Lottery Commission, which I believe is also a constitutional entity. There is no California Lottery Commission and a separate administrative office of the California Lottery. Is just staff to the California Lottery Commission. It is one entity. So I think this aligns us with an array of other agencies and entities in the state. Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Rosenberg. Sure. Judge O'Malley, then Judge Rubin. Judge
Walsh. Thank you, Chief. I think that this clarification of identity, I like that term, and welcome it, won't change the vast number of services that the council, the Judicial Council staff, provides to the branch courts. I just want to make that clear. And I, as a past PJ of my court, relied on those services very much. And I think that when I went to Sacramento to lobby for funds for the branch, somehow people thought that money would be going to the AOC and money would be going, you know, to the branch, and money would be going to all these separate entities when you spent all the time trying to say, you know, we're one and we just need the funds to keep our branch as a whole going. There are different parts of that branch, but we need the funds to keep the branch going. And it was confusing to them that the hardworking staff now of the Judicial Council provides those services at the direction of the council. They assist the branch courts at the direction of the council. They assist the committees that are made up of volunteer judges and court executives, officers, and lawyers, again, at the direction of the council. And I think that's been lost. And so I welcome this clarification, this resolving of this identity crisis, and welcome moving forward. I know it'll take time for folks to get used to this, but I welcome the change, and thank you.
Thank you, Judge O'Malley. Judge Rubin, then Judge Walsh.
I thank you, Chief. I agree that having been to Sacramento, this can get a little bit confusing. There seems to be some disconnect between who is the administrative office versus the judicial council. So I think this will be an improvement. My questions about timing, whether or not this should be done as part of a suite of changes, has clearly been resolved that this is going to be happening sooner. I think this is a very significant change and something more than cosmetic. And wondering if you all agree with that, or you agree with that, Judge Jarre, and how that'll be explained.
Judge Ruman, I certainly do agree. If I saw it as being cosmetic, I would have to acknowledge that there's no problem to be solved. And the problem you described is the very problem. It's one of persistent, chronic, and I think substantive confusion. So in that sense, I don't see it as cosmetic or trivial.
In essence, I think you're saying, is it form over substance? And I think it's both. It is a change in form, and it is, as others have mentioned, an evolution or a process, and it is extremely substantive. We've talked many times, and I've been fortunate enough to have been on E&P over these last 3 years and to have been as that committee in charge of these changes, and we have made significant changes. So it's both form and substance.
Judge Walsh.
Thank you, Chief. I've had the opportunity to hear from leadership of the Judicial Council about the reasons behind this proposal and its effect, not only this morning, but as I heard about it over the last few days. I've had many opportunities to clarify what's up and why. And I want to state, if you will, for the record, and to reassure any trial courts listening, that what's been made clear to me is that this is a proposal to change the name or retain or retire the name for the various reasons stated this morning by the Chief, by Justice Miller, and by Judge Jarre, which include diminishing confusion and better describing the relationship between the Judicial Council and its staff. But it's been equally clear to me that this is not a substantive change in the relationship between the Judicial Council and its staff and the trial courts. This change in name does not change the role of staff, AOC or Judicial Council staff, in serving and continuing to serve the trial courts, which they've been great at, and that's not going to change. It's also been clear to me that this is not an effort to assert greater control by the Judicial Council or over the trial courts, nor does it change the extent to which the trial courts and the Judicial Council are both independent of each other and interdependent with each other. So that it is being made clear to me that careful balance between that exists in the relationship between the trial courts and the Judicial Council will be unaffected and hopefully remain as vibrant as it always has been.
That's correct, Judge Walsh, and I would also point out that the same is true for all the services that the Judicial Council staff, AOC, provides to the Courts of Appeal and to the Supreme Court, because, as you know, there is very little administrative infrastructure, if any, in the six courts of appeal or the Supreme Court, and those two courts have always relied upon the staff of the AOC to perform all administrative services. Thank you. So we, Judge McCabe and then Judge Walker.
I'll defer to my friend from Placer County first.
I just want to pile on. I think this is a great idea. You know, when we did the Strategic Evaluation Committee report, one of the things we focused on was the perception of the administrative office of the courts internally. And we noted in the report that the AOC suffered from an identity crisis as it found its equilibrium about what services it was to provide and who it was to serve. And really the crisis that we didn't focus on, because it really wasn't part of our charge, was the perception crisis. How do others outside the branch perceive the administrative office of the courts and the Judicial Council? And I think this is a necessary step. to help resolve that perception crisis.
Thank you, Judge Walker.
Chief, thank you. Oddly enough, Judge Walker pointed out, the SEC dealt with the issue internally and had a variety of discussions. If you'll recall, Chief, you appointed a number of folks to that committee that had extensive first branch experience. And it somewhat jogged my memory that there was a discussion along the lines that the third branch differed in its approach in the way it named entities versus the other two, and that this would bring them all in a line. For a variety of reasons of which I cannot specifically recall now, we did not make a recommendation on that issue. But it didn't just stop there with the AOC name. It was also the director, administrative director of the court's name as well. We talked about both of them hand in hand, and that it would be appropriate that it would create a singularity in identity for the judiciary, and one that was understood by our partners in government. It's a sign of old age. I wish I could remember the thrust of the discussions we had, but my sense generally was that we were in agreement with it. That there was a view at one point that it was embedded in the Constitution, but that appears to be an error. And again, since we didn't pursue that, probably because we believed internally that it was beyond our charge, and so therefore limited ourselves in what we were going to do, we didn't pursue researching that issue. But it appears to me to be consistent with what a group of folks that you put together to look and do a top-to-bottom review of the Administrative Office of the Courts, and people that were also outside the judiciary that were primarily in the first branch of government. And if I recall, they had something like 70 years cumulative experience amongst all of them, all agreed as well that it should be done. So I wholeheartedly support this effort. I think it's consistent with what the SEC attempted to do. I think it's consistent with what you, Chief, started when this snowball started out at a marble size. And I'd say that complimentary because it's now taking on a life of its own, creating massive reforms, which in fact accomplishes exactly what you wanted, which among them was transparency and accountability and efficiency. So I would support the effort.
Thank you, Judge McCabe. Appreciate all the comments made here today. At our next meeting in July, we'll have an opportunity to review the proposed language, further discuss this matter, refine matters, and take a vote. Thank you. With the consent and agreement of the internal chairs, we're bypassing those reports, and we will take up our regular agenda reports at our next meeting.